Hi, I'm David May, and I have the privilege today to fill in for Pastor Jathan Newton. I'm also sporting a COVID-inspired beard, as you can see. I'd like to turn your attention to the title of the sermon today. It's All You Need Is the Gospel. The text is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us the hope of salvation through our Savior. Please guide my words today. May this message be used by you to touch our hearts and our lives. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm here to remind you today that all you need is the gospel. All you need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me briefly share with you, for the sake of the little ones listening and maybe others who do not know, that the word gospel simply means good news. It's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. So today I'm going to remind you of what you already know. My hope and desire is that this sermon will help us to refocus on what is important. So today, sometimes the tires on our cars need realignment. Sometimes our backs need to be realigned by a chiropractor. Likewise, our hearts often need to be realigned with the gospel. So the goal of this sermon is to recalibrate our spiritual compass so that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can once again take center stage in our hearts. So people of God, all you need is the gospel. The gospel message is the good news that the eternal Son of God came into this world to live the perfect life, to die a substitutionary death in our place, and then to rise from the dead. The gospel is the only message that, when we put our trust in it, it will bring forgiveness of our sins. It will make us right with our Creator. It will gain us access to God because our sin will no longer separate us from Him. And it will give us eternal life and grant us entrance into heaven when we die, into the very presence of God. So all you need is the gospel. Now I want to make a clarification. Some of you are probably thinking in the back of your mind, I need more than just the gospel. I need to eat. I need to work. I need sleep. A lot of things I need in this life. Well, all these things are legitimate needs. So to clarify, when I say all you need is the gospel, I'm speaking of it as a priority. Your need for the gospel is more important and will always be more important than any earthly needs you have in this life. Every need in this world will only sustain you for life in this world. But the gospel is the only truth that will gain you entrance into heaven, into the very presence of God for all eternity. So the gospel is a priority to all other needs. The gospel is also necessary to guide us in how we live out everything in life. It must inform, it must direct, it must guide how we live life in this world. The gospel must permeate every aspect of how we live in this world. As Jesus taught, we must remain in our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And that's abide in Jesus Christ. And at the end of verse 5, Jesus says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So the gospel is necessary to live the Christian life. Let's turn our attention now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." All that the Corinthian church needed was the gospel. Let me read now in context verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The immediate intent of verse 2 is so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, as it says in verse 5. So as a side note for college students and those that soon will be, beware of the sophisticated worldly wisdom of college professors. Don't put your faith in their so-called knowledge. It's not that college professors get all the facts wrong. It's that they take the facts and oftentimes they manipulate them to paint a picture, to paint a worldview that opposes the gospel. So beware of the worldly wisdom of college professors. So what does Paul mean that he decided to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? It means that they needed the gospel. It doesn't mean that Paul neglected the problems in the church. Hey, here's the gospel, now figure out how to live the Christian life on your own. No, throughout 1 Corinthians, Paul tackles a lot of the problems in the church and how to live the Christian life together. And he tackles these problems with the gospel. So the fact that Paul knew nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what that means is that the gospel was central to how Paul addressed all of the issues in the Corinthian church. The gospel spoke to all their problems and guided solutions. So again, chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And all that the Corinthian church needed was the gospel." Interesting fact, the word Christ appears 58 times just in the book of 1 Corinthians alone, and 45 times in 2 Corinthians. Now I'd like to give you a quick bird's eye view of how the gospel is central to all the issues in 1 Corinthians. All the issues that Paul deals with in this letter, because Paul does intentionally bring the gospel to speak to nearly every problem in the Corinthian church. So to begin with, please note, the gospel answers the problems of the divisions in the church. That is really a theme throughout this book. The gospel also helps our minds to think right about everything. Chapter 2, verse 16. "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ." The gospel helps our minds to think right about everything because it gives us the mind of Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the gospel speaks to believers who have legal disputes and with other Christians in the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the gospel speaks to sexual sin. In chapter 7, the gospel informs believers how to think about their current situation in life. In chapter 7 and 11, the gospel helps us understand marriage and individual roles in the family. And in chapters 12 through 14, the gospel is the whole reason we have spiritual gifts. And that is so that we can use them for the cause of Christ and use them for the health and well-being of His church. So again, the Corinthian church, all they needed was the gospel. It spoke to all their issues. And people of God, all you need is the gospel. Now on this topic, all you need is gospel, is the gospel. If you're taking notes, I've organized the remainder of my thoughts under three headings. First, the truth of the gospel is superior to any other truth in this created world. The truth of the gospel is superior to any other truth in this created world. This is Paul's point from chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through chapter 2. Notice chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And again, referring to the gospel in chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So the gospel is superior to any other truth in this created world. So let's look at some specific reasons why. Why is the gospel superior to any other truth in this created world? There are three main reasons that I observed here in these two chapters here in 1 Corinthians. First reason, the gospel is superior because it came from God. In chapter 1, verse 21, it's called the wisdom of God. And in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So the gospel came from God. Second reason the gospel is superior is because it has the very power of God to save. Again, chapter 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In chapter 2, verse 5, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the gospel is superior because it has the very of God behind it to save. Third, the gospel is superior because it can only be understood by believers. And that's because believers in Christ have the Holy Spirit to help them understand it. Notice chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. It's fascinating. The most brilliant minds of this world, they can tell you incredible truths about this universe, truths in biology, in physics, in medicine, in chemistry, etc. But as brilliant as they are in this world, without Christ, they are not able to understand the gospel. I'm not simply talking about the historical facts of the gospel. Anyone can understand that. I'm talking about understanding the depths of the wisdom of God in the gospel. The most brilliant minds of this world cannot understand the depths of the gospel without Christ. If you are one of those brilliant men and you're hearing this message, you need Christ to understand the gospel. The point is, the truth of the gospel is superior to any truth in this created world. You know, isn't it fascinating how we get caught up with all kinds of knowledge in this world? I don't know If you do this, but it's common in my family, we'll say things like, did you know? And then we'll explain what we learned because we're excited about it and we're sharing it with others. Well, what if we did that with regards to gospel truth? If it's superior, shouldn't we be excited to share what we're learning about the gospel with each other? That is something that would certainly be edifying to all of us, sharing what we learn about the gospel, being excited about the gospel together. So again, the point is, the truth of the gospel is superior to any truth in this created world. The second main heading now, let's consider the mission of the gospel. The mission of the gospel is a priority to all other missions. The mission of the gospel is a priority to all other missions. Our mission as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to communicate the gospel with everyone around us as the Lord gives opportunity. This is our mission. We are to be about the good news of Jesus Christ. But why is it so hard for us to share Christ with others? You know, this is kind of the elephant in the room. We all know we need to, but it's hard. It's hard to do this. I think the problem is it's really a heart issue. It's a heart issue, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that over these next few minutes. As all of you know, I do evangelism as a regular part of my work. But I struggle at times trying to keep my heart right, to keep it in line with the gospel mission. That's how I know it's a heart issue, because I struggle with it too. I believe the root of the problem is that our hearts, excuse me, let me get this situated here. I believe the root of the problem is that our hearts are not in line with the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants our hearts to fall in line with His gospel mission. It must be a priority. It must be a priority over all other missions. Consider the call of a few passages of Scripture supporting why the mission of the gospel is a priority over all other missions. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Jesus is speaking here. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Peter began to say to him, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. You see, the mission of the gospel is a priority to all other missions. Now let's consider our work, our jobs in this world, because our careers take up so much of our time each day. Please hear me on this. The mission of the gospel is to be a priority over our careers. It is to be more important than any job or career. Now, I'm not suggesting that people should quit their jobs to become missionaries, though God may call some to do this. My point is really aimed at our hearts. deep down, what drives you? What drives you? Is it simply to finish your work assignment and your goals? Or is it to pray for and seek to find opportunities to share the gospel with your coworkers and other around as God gives opportunity? I'm also definitely not saying, hey, go slack off on your work so you can take time to share the gospel. No. The reality is if you do your work to the glory of God and you do it well, that will give credibility to your testimony and to your words. So if you don't do a good job in your career, people won't respect what you have to say. They won't respect what you're living for. Now, some of you might be thinking, you know, I work 60 hours or more a week at my job. How in the world do I have time to go out and share the gospel? Well, I'm not saying quit your job. And I'm not suggesting that you neglect your family so that you can do evangelism on the weekends. Although some may be called to weekend ministry. And some may be able to include their families in ministry as well, together. And I want to encourage you, do not intentionally to seek to break your company's policy on what you can and cannot talk about at work. God can open doors for you to talk about Christ outside of work. He can give you those opportunities outside of work with the people you work with at work. So if you're going to share Christ, you have to trust God to open the doors. Don't try to kick the doors down and force your way into a conversation. Trust God to open the doors. The reason I'm spending a lot of time on this is because if you're not careful to wait and to trust God to open the doors, you might very well make the God smell no better than a spoiled food dish that has sat in the fridge 2 or 3 months too long. So, people of God, please, please, don't make the gospel stink by trying to force it. Wait upon God to open doors. And the truth is, if the gospel is in your heart to share, and you're praying for opportunities, I believe God will give you those opportunities, even in sometimes hostile environments. So again, what I'm saying, align your hearts. Get your heart in line with the mission of the gospel. Look for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. And be ready for opportunities to share Christ with others. And God will give you those opportunities. Let me ask you, think about the people that you're around every day who need Jesus, maybe coworkers, maybe neighbors. How often do you pray for them? How often do you go up to them out of the blue and just ask them, how are you doing? And genuinely ask them. Ask them with a sincere desire to know their well-being. And also because you have a genuine concern for their soul. Assuming you have a concern for their soul. I'm guilty too. When I'm saying to you, I'm guilty of this, that's why I'm sharing this, because I wrestle with the same thing and I need to hear it. Because we get so busy with our own agenda and we try to do this and we try to do that, and we miss out on opportunities around us because we're so concerned about our own agendas than we are about people's souls. Let me ask you another question. Is the gospel a priority in your heart? Have you aligned your heart with the mission of the gospel? I think many of us would be able to find a lot more opportunities if the gospel was really a priority in our hearts. In fact, if you can just make that one change, just make the gospel a priority in your heart, make it a habit, make it a focus, you will discover opportunities all around you to share Christ. An example, recently I had sent out an email prayer request to pray for our ministry in the jails. Well, the very next day when I was in the jails, one of the inmates asked me about the fires in California. When I responded, I began talking about what the Bible says about this earth. One day this earth will be destroyed by fire when God brings judgment. The Holy Spirit just led me to it. It came into my mind and my thoughts to share that. And this guy was very interested, and he started asking questions. Eventually, he indicated he had enough and then moved on. But notice, this particular guy was part of a gang that normally has not had very much to do with the ministry. And yet, I had opportunity to plant some seeds. But it's fascinating how this happened right after people started praying for me, that I was led by the Spirit to turn the conversation into a seed planting conversation. At the same time, I had other people ask me that same question in previous days. And all I did was talk a little bit about the fire and the smoke and how it's hard to breathe, but yeah, God's getting us through it, just in general. But I missed the opportunity. I missed the opportunity because my mind wasn't in tune with the gospel as it should have been. I would guess that all of us miss opportunities simply because the gospel is not at the forefront of our thoughts. So again, the point of me telling you this story, as I believe if the gospel is a priority in our hearts, we are going to find opportunities to turn normal conversations into spiritual, gospel-focused conversations. But those conversations are not just going to happen. The gospel has to be a priority in our hearts. We have to pray for opportunities, and we have to develop the habit to be on the lookout for those opportunities. And then you'll see God use you to share the gospel with others. It's exciting. It's exciting to see. So the mission of the gospel is a priority over all other believers. Next, let's consider the third main heading, the focus of the gospel. The focus of the gospel. The gospel must be the center of our lives above everything else. The gospel must be the center of our lives above everything else. The previous point about the mission of the gospel, that was a consideration for evangelism. What I'm presenting now with the focus of the gospel being the center of our lives, it's the consideration of sanctification, of growing in Christ. You see, the gospel isn't just needed to get saved, to be justified before God. The gospel is also needed to grow in Christ, to grow in our faith, to learn to live the Christian life. Now, as you all know, we live in a Christian culture here in the U.S. where there are so many problems. I'm not saying problems, I meant programs. There are so many programs and books and online how-to videos for just about anything we want to learn. You can find things on how to have a successful marriage, how to parent, how to handle money, how to overcome addictions. You can find all of that in all these resources that are available to us today. But where is the gospel? Are these things addressed with the gospel. The point is, the gospel must be the center of how we learn to live the Christian life in all these areas. Why? Because the gospel will help us have the right motives and the right attitudes. So if we don't have the right motives, we can easily become a little Pharisee. Or we can easily begin judging others. So the gospel will help us to have right motives and right attitudes of the heart in our hearts. You see, if our hearts are aligned with the gospel will give us the right motives. It will give us the right attitudes. It will help us keep our eyes on Christ as we seek to learn how to live the Christian life. Let me give you an example. We've all seen parents wanting their kids to behave because it makes them look good as parents. Maybe we've done this. These kinds of parents, they will hold their heads up high when people look at how well-behaved their kids are. And then they get mad at their kids when their kids misbehave and make them look bad. That kind of parenting is parenting for one's own personal reputation. It's not gospel-centered parenting. Gospel-centered parenting seeks first and foremost to teach their kids about knowing and believing in Christ. The motives of the parents for gospel-centered parenting are for the salvation of their kids. And if their kids are saved, it's for them to grow in Christ. Notice also that gospel-centered parents are often willing to be transparent with each other about their own failings, and even transparent with other parents in the church. And it's because we know parenting's hard, and we know we need the grace of God, and we need our kids to know Christ, and so we're willing to be transparent and humble because we need Christ too. What about marriage? Many of you know that if Christ is not the center in your marriage, your motives will become selfish motives. And what happens is you can begin to focus your thoughts on what you want from your spouse rather than on how you can serve your spouse. And when those selfish motives begin to take root, discontentment sets in. So if you're not content in your marriage, consider perhaps your eyes are not on Christ. So the point is that the gospel must be the center of our lives. It must be the center of our lives as we seek to live the Christian life. Let's review these three main headings that we looked at today. The truth of the gospel is superior to any other truth in this created world. Second, the mission of the gospel is a priority to all other missions. And third, the focus of the gospel must be the center of our lives above everything else. I'd like to share with you a quote from the commentator Lang, who wrote about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. What he, Paul, resolved on proclaiming to the Corinthians was Christ in his person and work, as the living revelation of the Father, as the truth and the life, as the one in whom were hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as the source of all salvation and blessing, whom to believe in, love, and serve was life eternal. His gospel was not theory or science, but history. And the glory of this history is to use the words of Olhausen, that, quote, it lives and repeats itself in the church as a whole and in every member of the church. It therefore never grows old any more than God himself can become antiquated. And it maintains itself to this day in all the fullness of the power which it manifested in the first establishment of the church. So my exhortation to you today is, always, always keep your eyes on Christ. Love the gospel. Cherish it. Be enraptured with the gospel. Gaze continually upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in what Christ has done for you. Continually, continually rejoice. Repeat to yourself every day, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins and rising from the dead. Thank you for delivering me from the guilt of my sins. Thank you for freeing me from being a slave to sin. Thank you for saving me from the judgment of God. And thank you for giving me eternal life and the hope of a glorious future with you in heaven for all eternity. People of God, align your hearts with the gospel. Let it continually energize you, and let it fill your hearts always. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for all that you have done through Christ, our Savior, for our salvation. May we keep our eyes on the gospel. Give us the grace to stay gospel-focused, to stay gospel-centered in our lives every day of the year. Help us to be willing and ready and able to share Christ with others as you give us opportunity. And please give us opportunity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.